This podcast series was made possible by a grant from the Emily Hall Tremaine Foundation and was brought to you by Side Street Projects. Founded in 1992, Side Street Projects is an artist-run nonprofit organization whose mission is to give artists of all ages the ability and the means to support their creative endeavors. Simply put, that means we help artists, and we do so with unusual programs and practical services that help artists roll up their sleeves and do things themselves. For more information, visit our website at sidestreet.org or give us a call at 626-798-7774.
How are we doing on the impact? Low impact. Whenever you guys are ready.
All right, let's go.
Let's do this now. All right, welcome to What Do Curators Want? Our Side Street Projects ongoing podcast series addressing best professional practices for emerging visual artists. And our guest today is Mr. Jeffrey Poe of Blum & Poe Gallery. Jeff, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Sure.
Jeff, can you tell us a little bit about what you guys do out here in Culver City?
Yeah, the gallery opened up in 90, I think it was 95, maybe 94, in Santa Monica in a very small space. It was 1,200 square feet. And then we've just been involved with a lot of artists that wound up having kind of major careers over the years. Moved here in 2003 to the space we're currently in, but we're going to be moving, hopefully, at the beginning of next year into a space across the street.
Okay.
It's substantially larger. So, you know, we've been kind of slowly over the last 14 years, you know, building the gallery.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been, you know, it has been following the artists, too. Mm-hmm. So it's not as if we just kind of expanded on our own. Everyone expanded. We all worked together towards that.
And talk about, like, who do you show and at what point in their careers are people that you show, where are they at in their careers?
Well, I mean, a few of them are, you know, major, more than a few major international artists. I mean, Takashi Murakami, obviously, is a known entity. Mark Grotejohn's become incredibly important American painter. But I mean, you know, not you know, worked with Sharon Lockhart from the very beginning, Sam Durant, Dave Muller, Jenny Bornstein. I mean, these are all local LA people. Florian Meyer-Eichen, who I consider a Los Angeles artist, came out of UCLA. He's also now having a substantial career. Julian Hober's here. He's the next show up in September. I think it's the 6th.
Mm-hmm.
So we've worked with, you know, a lot of LA artists that have wound up mm-hmm. being around for a number of years and having careers. But we've also always mixed it up with international artists.
Mm-hmm.
Dirk Schraber, Friedrich Kunoth, and then, you know, Murakami, Chiho Aoshima, Yoshitomo Nara. So, you know, now we're showing Nigel Cook next year, Anya Galaccio, who was a YBA artist who's actually going to teach down at San Diego, I think starting in September. So, I mean, you know, we've been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How does an artist get on the radar of a gallery like Blum & Poe? What is the normal, like, what's the chain of events typically?
Yeah, I know it's, you know, I'm just finding out that this is for, you know, mm-hmm. artists beginning their careers mm-hmm. or artists trying to get their, you know, career assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to preface it with, it's, you know, it's changed mm-hmm. so much.
Well, talk about that if you want, if you're able to.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, at this point in time, just in general, it's become a gigantic business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it used to not be that way. When we opened up, nobody really cared. It wasn't, you know, a financially viable move.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think I would become successful. It wasn't about making money. Artists now, I'm not saying that they get into it for making money. They don't. Good artists, you know, Hirsch Perlman, who we show, you know, he teaches UCLA, he's got this great line, you know, good artists, they embrace their symptoms. So, you know, artists are just going to, you know, good artists are just going to be doing that. They're not getting into it as any kind of business plan. They can't help it. It's really all they can do. But at this point in time, it's a lot different now, you know, than it was then. And then was just, it was really, there was a lot of do-it-yourself to it. It was more organic. There was a community for sure. I'm sure there's a community now. Unfortunately, I mean, my time has passed on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really involved with younger artists any longer. I can't be, just by economic necessity.
Right.
You know, this gallery costs a lot of money to run every month.
Yeah.
And I can't show young artists because it just is a financial, it's not an easy thing for me to do anymore. So I don't pick up artists like I used to.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, like, just literally the bottom line of the business. It's, on one level, it's kind of like, oh, geez, you know. There's a sadness to that.
Yeah.
I mean, because it is, I mean, you know, it's there's a great camaraderie. There can be. And a real feeling of, you know, family, of, like, growing together.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, now we're this, you know, kind of, all teenagers and dysfunctional and fucked up. So it's a lot different.
No, totally.
So to bring in some, you know, infant into the situation, I mean, you know, we could do, obviously. I'm not saying that, like, the analogy is a little off, but at the same time, you know, we could very easily do that, but it's just, you know, it's not the way it works anymore. But that said, to answer the question in a roundabout way, yes, I mean, there are ways of, I just don't know if those ways, my ways, a generation past, apply any longer.
Interesting. Wow. Okay. Can we talk about age and art, and just from your experience and what your observations are, maybe not with just with this space, but just in the art world, and especially in LA, is this kind of a young person's game, and what advice would you give for artists who have been maybe emerging longer than they expected?
Mm-hmm.
Your observations?
I don't think it is in a way, yes, it is a young person's game, in that everyone's looking for. Unfortunately, there's an enormous amount of attention, misplaced attention, that gets paid to artists' careers, the financial aspect of an artist's career. You know, showing first time for $5,000, suddenly it's second show is 15 or 20, something goes at auction, it goes for 50, now all of a sudden, and you know, everybody knows that road, and that is, and in a sense, yeah, if you're quote unquote a mid-career artist, you've had a career, or if you're, you know, 35 years old, 40 years old, and you haven't had a show yet, well, something's wrong there. I mean, that's wrong. It's pretty fucked up. There is also the in following that too, there's the, you know, this, the context of the gallery and how important that is to a young artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the advice to somebody who's, like, say, you know, older, been around, or, you know, it really is, on that level, gallery shows aren't going to be as helpful as any museum activity would be. Because a gallery show, then you just go into the slipstream. And the slipstream, you know, if you've been around for a while, slipstream's not going to be as gracious, and you're not going to have any sort of, like, you're going to get lost in it. But if you have any sort of museum activity, that's different. Because what that does is that puts you on a much, immediately, on a curatorial level. And you're outside of just being about, you know, being a young heart artist making money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's advantageous. Now, that's a hard place to get to. You know, how do you do that? Well, you know, that'd be the next question. I mean, there's not a lot of places for this.
No.
And that's, there are more in New York, quite honestly. But, you know, it would be good if, you know, look at, there are some good nonprofits here. I mean, obviously, LACE and LAX have been around. Years and years ago, I went to Beyond Baroque to try to get that second story room. I did a show with a bunch of artists wanting to use that as a space to kind of hope that some, you know, curators or, you know, would actually start to use it. But that fell apart. It didn't happen. I kind of wanted to see that go on. Didn't work. But, you know, it would be better if there were more nonprofits out here. I mean, you know, then you got the Hammer. But you see, when you start to get into those situations, Hammer, LACMA, MOCA, same, those institutions have the same concerns that I do, which is it's expensive. And you do want to bring people in. And because that's important. It's important to the bottom line. So there's a juggling act that has to get played. I think that really to get down to it, it would be better if there were some more, you know, kind of activity on the nonprofit end.
So like commercial galleries, museums, nonprofits, it's like this ecology in a sense of those spaces, and they all kind of interact with each other.
Artists at different levels.
So maybe, and with that said, I guess what you're, you know, young artists should be looking maybe at a mixture of, you know, commercial venues and also spending maybe equal energies trying to.
But then also, I mean, young artists could also look to. If the shit hits the fan and the market goes down, which everyone's waiting for it to happen, and it hasn't really happened. I mean, it's starting to happen, I think, with younger artists, but it certainly hasn't happened on a higher level. Not with artists that are involved in auctions or in that kind of economic place, that slipstream, which is a completely different can of worms and not what we're discussing today at all, because that's another strategy. If it was like the early 90s when there was, you know, Roy Devine, this artist that's gone now, Trudy Reese was his girlfriend, and, you know, he opened this gallery called Tri out of his apartment, TRI, and it was just three pieces, three walls of his living room and his duplex, nice Spanish duplex upstairs, not far off of La Cienega North where we are now. Those days are gone. You know, if artists were to kind of take back, Mark Grotjohn had, you know, I forget what the address was, 6230 something, Heliotrope. I mean, Grotjohn and Brent Peterson, who's gone now, he passed away. You know, artists can make their own situations. And I think that sometimes in this, you know, economic frenzy or this idea of, like, you know, hitting that gold mine, that vein, that it gets lost about what it really is about. Also for context, I mean, I started with no idea that this would wind up happening. There was no strategy here involved. It was just about showing art. I was a dealer showing art. I knew of a lot of artists that were also showing art. They were showing their friends. And there was excitement that surrounded that. You know, this even extends in the early 90s, same time to, you know, dealers like Gavin Brown. Mm-hmm. Same thing. You know, the core people around him were his friends, Rick Ritt, Peyton. I mean, these were people that he was friends with and he just started showing. Now, the guy is, you know, he was educated, so he was able to talk about the work. Tim and I, same thing. We were able to sell and talk about the work. Artists can talk about the work better than anybody. So I kind of, like, in a weird way, want to throw it back, you know, and say, you know, this whole discussion here is, like, well, no. Do it your fucking self. That's where I started. No one's going to help you.
What are some misconceptions that artists have about commercial spaces?
That it's really easy to sell art, and that stuff should just sell.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you're an artist, of course you're thinking that, because it's your work up there, and it's your life up there, and you're like, why the fuck doesn't everybody love me? Look at me. You know, this is genius. Of course they should be. The world should be.
But there's, you know.
But that doesn't always work that way, you know? I mean, there's a lot of things that have to happen for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the dealer's complicit, and the dealer has a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I mean, I am not the kind of dealer, nor is Tim, to take somebody and put my arm around them and go, look, you gotta buy this. This is gonna be, you know, this is gonna wind up, because that's what everybody wants now. What's the next hit? Who's the next artist? You know, it's not that easy. At a certain point, if a gallery can get it together, then yes, in fact, at this point, I mean, I'm going to sound a little arrogant here. I mean, we've done it over and over and over again with young artists. If I were to pick somebody up and show them, and no one knew who they were, and they were a young artist, then, yeah, just by, you know, the track record of what we've done over the years, that artist is going to get attention. I mean, an example of that is Victor Mann, who's a Romanian artist that we showed last year. Nobody knew who Victor Mann was. Well, Victor Mann's got, you know, a show going on at Barbara Gladstone in May, coming up in, you know, 9 months. I mean, that, I don't think that would have happened unless we wound up working with the work. It may sound arrogant, but it's true. So, you know, the misconceptions are that the gallery, like, everything will change. It won't for a young artist with a young gallery. And to think that a young artist is going to get a gallery on a certain level, well, that's an assumption probably wrongly made. You know, it goes back to what I said earlier. It's more of a, you know, you got to do it yourself.
That's cool. All right, one last thing. On that note, what's one thing you wish artists understood about your job? Yeah, that's a goofy one. We can just walk away from
it. No. I'll answer anything. collectors can be really difficult.
Mm-hmm. People don't pay on time.
Not that. I mean, it's just, it's difficult to deal with, it can be difficult to deal with the public in general. And that just by putting the work on the walls doesn't mean that things are going to become successful. Doesn't mean that it's, you know, you're going to get a review. Doesn't mean the work is going to sell. Doesn't mean a curator is even going to come by. You know, galleries can only do so much. I mean, there's always been the attitude, we don't push it here. We've never pushed anything on anyone. You just don't do that. At least initially, because if you do as a dealer, then you're going to get a reputation of being, you know,
you're pushing.
Well, an asshole. Yeah, later on you get to become the asshole.
Right, exactly. Right, when you're laying the groundwork, man. It's
that pretty good?
Jeff, this has been wonderful. Do you have any closing thoughts or any pearls of wisdom you'd want floating out there in cyberspace for eternity?
No, I guess that's it.
Very good. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Poe. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure.
Today. Okay. And
that was it?
That's it, man.
That was simple. Short little